Take your scriptures and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We will look at most of these verses in the course of the message today, but I want to read these five verses and let us listen to them, how they all fit together. One of the most important passages of Scripture in all of the Bible on the subject of Spirit-led giving. I don't know how you could do a series on tithing and giving and not devote one entire message to this particular passage. We pick it up at verse 6. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. That's a quote from the 112th Psalm. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's a great passage of Scripture. Our text, the first part of verse 11, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Talk to you today under the title, Live to Give. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before this people and teach your word. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, take this so important passage of Scripture and seed it deep into the heart of every person here today and every person that may listen to this in the days to come online or by CD. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher today. I may be talking, but I ask your voice to be the one we listen to. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many people come to church wanting a teaching that brings new revelation to their faith. Kind of like, Pastor, tell me something I don't already know today. But there are messages that simply fill the bill of confirmation. In other words, you're not telling us anything new, Pastor, but you are confirming and reminding us of something that we need to be reminded of. Today's message falls into this second category. CCC is a body of believers who live to give. So my guess would be that probably 75% of the people in the house today are going to not learn one new thing. So, based on that, if you want to leave, you can leave right now. On second thought, no. Because we haven't taken the offering up yet. You can't leave. Now, seriously, you're not going to learn anything new. But the Holy Spirit is going to confirm some things in you that you already know. And about 25% of you today are going to learn some very important scriptural financial principles. Here's the background of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul was about to send a couple of his handpicked helpers to the church at Corinth to collect a special offering that would be given to a suffering sister church in Macedonia. And all Paul is doing in this passage of Scripture is commending them for their willingness to give in this offering to this particular need in their sister church. Application to us. I want to say to this congregation, you are great, absolutely great at offering opportunities. These offering opportunities are carefully presented, and you are never approached with an expectation other than listen to the Lord and do whatever the Lord prompts you to do. And I'm amazed at how he prompts you. I got to tell you that. I'm amazed. Missionary we had just 2 or 3 weeks ago, you gave, not tithe, not regular missionary faith promise support for monthly support. No, you gave a special offering of $8,000. That's just like off the charts. We take up a special SAM fund offering once a month, but I know that many of you give on a regular basis out of each paycheck. That's what Donna and I do. And you support that at literally tens of thousands of dollars a year. Special guest speakers. We don't have that many, but when they come and we need to have a special offering to show our appreciation for their ministry amongst us, you give in an incredible, incredible way. The ministry to the Gideons. Do you realize over the last number of years, this church has given to the ministry of placing Bibles in hotel rooms and hospitals and everything on the north side of $130,000. Just special offerings. Western Michigan Teen Challenge comes usually to us in the month of June. We present a situation. This year, you gave them $10,000. Camp scholarships. Oh, that reminds me. We just had kids camp 3 weeks ago. Yeah, Pastor, and you didn't come to us for scholarships. Yeah, because I was waiting until today to do it, okay? Well, we had staff retreat this Monday and Tuesday. Let me tell you the report we were given. There were 120 kids at this year's kids camp. 8 boys and girls accepted Jesus Christ for the first time in their life as Lord and Savior. Now, you could say, well, that's not very many out of 120 kids. It's not. You know what that says? That says it's happening in this church and in your homes all the time, where the little ones are receiving Jesus Christ into their hearts and their lives, and they're being discipled. 10 boys and girls rededicated their lives to the Lord. 28 boys and girls received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the same way they did in the book of Acts. And one child gave public profession to feeling that God was calling his or her at an early age to be a missionary. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? How many of you think that's awesome? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Okay, then we're going to take up camp scholarships right now. Right now. I need 25 $50 scholarships. 25 $50 scholarships. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Both Tom and Pam, you raised your hands. Get that? Not one, but two. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. 31, done deal. 32, over there. That's it. It's taken care of. Taken care of. Well, Pastor, you didn't stop at 25. Oh, come on. Do you ever do something that has a multiple thousands of dollars of budget and maybe come up a little short? Oh, okay, it never happens to you, but it does to us. So thank you so much. Those of you who did that, any offering, just pull the offering envelope on the right-hand side where it says especially for, just put Kids Camp Scholarships. Thank you so much. Show our appreciation to the Lord for what just happened. I hope that you never feel that Pastor Joel is trying to twist your arm to get into your pocketbook. Because I stand before you today and tell you that is never my motive. My motive is to give you an offering opportunity that you can either participate in or you can pass. And I must be honest and tell you, your giving to offering appeals astonishes me. And I want to tell you two things about that. Number one, every penny you give in the offering side of your giving, wherever you designate it, every penny goes there. Every penny. 10% isn't taken out for administrative purposes or for the running of this church. That's what the tithe is for. When you give something to a missionary, you give something to the Gideon ministry, you give camp scholarships, I promise you every penny you give goes to where you wanted it to go. In fact, the real truth is, sometimes more than what you give. Because if we have a guest, this is rare, if we have a guest and or a need, and the offering didn't quite match up to what we felt their ministry should have received, then we just add to it and make sure that it gets there. The second thing I want you to know is that your gift goes very quickly. I've heard horror stories from traveling ministries who say they go to a church, they have a service, and they leave, and nobody gives them an honorarium check or a check to cover their expenses. When people come here, maybe spiritual emphasis speaker or anything, they don't leave with a check. How could I give them a check? I don't know what you gave on the Sunday. And we don't count the offerings like that. I've heard horror stories where people have said to me, I don't believe they were lying. I've heard people tell me, we haven't gotten a check from a church we were at 2 months ago. I see that as unethical. I see that as stealing. Well, eventually we'll get it to them. You know what I tell all of our guests? I look them in the eye and I say, I promise you, by Tuesday afternoon, whatever came in for your ministry will be out the door to you. You have my word on it. And quite often, it's by Monday afternoon, depending on staff meeting and how long Leon takes to get through staff meetings, okay? I want to read you two letters, portions of two letters. I have lots of thank yous that I could read you, but I know that you don't give to get thank yous. You give because the Lord told you to do so. So I'm going to tell you who both of these are from. This one was this spring from Sam Reifkogel. Sam Reifkogel says, to top it all off, you blew me away with the generous honorarium. Wow. I pray that God will continue to overdose you with his best blessings because of your congregation's spirit of giving. But it's this one that may be the most profound one I've ever received. And this is from John Muncy, and you all know John Muncy, and you know of his ministry that he's had among us on Wednesday nights, every other year, I think. I wanted to thank you for blessing us with the, in capital letters, biggest offering, small case, in the history of our 34 years of being full-time evangelists. I was absolutely shocked to receive such an offering. We seriously needed this offering. I have not been able to receive a salary from our structure for several months due to the income in the last couple of years being so low. Things have been extremely tight for us, but we have maintained our trust in the provision of the Lord. Brother Joel, your people put us back on course. What a tremendous testimony to the heart of your people. I wish there was some way to tell you so you could really feel our gratitude. My heart is so encouraged. This was a much needed time of encouragement in my life and in my ministry. Do you see? There's more that happened than dollar signs. There was touching a heart with encouragement. You can go on. You can do it. God will meet your needs. Please relay our appreciation to your precious people for their sacrifice of giving. I'll just say, for all of the offerings you've ever given, be it camp scholarships, missionaries, Gideon's, Wednesday night special speaker, God bless you. God bless you. And we just let it go at that. In 2 Corinthians passage of today, we see how the basic law of giving works. Let's do a little work on the scripture. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Two words. Sparingly, it means abstemiously or stingily. Generously means a large donation. The message says a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, and a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. The New Living Translation says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. The next verse continues on with how this basic law of giving works. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look at four words. Not reluctantly, that is, not grievously or grudgingly, with a heavy spirit or sadness or sorrow. Not under compulsion, the word means constraint or distress or necessity, because God has much love for a cheerful giver. Now, the word is hilaros, from which we get our word hilarious. But I learned something in my study this week. We have always read that verse and think, God loves something that's really happy about giving. That is not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. It's saying God has much love for someone who is willing to give and promptly does it. That's it. Put that all together. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not with a heavy, sad, sorrow, grudging spirit, not feeling under constraint or distress or necessity, because God has a huge amount of love for those who are willing to give and are prompt at doing it. I never want anyone here to feel that we're putting you under a constraint or that there's distress or necessity and you have to give, and you have to give so much. You who have worshipped here for a number of years know that's not the way Pastor Joel takes up offerings. Excuse me, that's the wrong way to say that. That's not the way Pastor Joel receives offerings. Donna, you'll recall this. I'm guessing it to be about 20 years ago, a long time ago. There was a young couple who came to our church. Back in those days, if someone started coming to our church and they had interest in our church and they were going to come here, Donna and I would go and visit them in their home. We have over 30 years visited hundreds of people in their homes, welcoming them, answering any questions they might have about CCC, just befriending them, that's all. I do remember this night. It was a January, February night. It was cold. It was wintry. They live southeast of town in a mobile home. Now, I just want to say something before I go on with this illustration, lest somebody think that I'm saying something I'm not saying. I don't look at anybody who's living in a mobile home and think that they're, you know, something less than. You're looking at a guy who was raised in a mobile home. I lived in a 14-foot-wide mobile home from 7th grade through college with my dad and mom. That's just when the 14-foot-wides came out. Man, we thought we were downtown, let me tell you. So, I really don't care whether you live in a $500,000 house, a mobile home, or a tent. It's insignificant. Your life means much more than your address. Don't ever forget it. And your success in life is not defined by your address. I'm preaching better than you're letting on right now. We went into their home, and it was obvious. We weren't in their home 5-10 minutes, and we knew that these were people of very meager means, and we'll just let it be at that. And that's okay. But it's the story they told me that I think deposited something in my heart. I didn't look at the story on the other end of the line and say, ta, 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 look how bad that is. But I'll tell you what, that young couple deposited something in this pastor that night that I have not forgotten to this day. Because they told me of attending another church here in this town, which I will leave nameless. Because if I were to throw that name out, I'd be sowing some negative seed. And I'm not going to do that. Because what I sow, I reap. And I don't have to do that. This church never has to do that. This church never has to look down its nose at other churches and how they do things. They just do things different. But we can learn. Here's what they told me. They told me, Pastor, in our church that we used to go to, they have multiple offerings every service. And this is what they said. They said, we sat on the platform, and an offering would be taken, and there'd be some more singing, and then there would be a call through the intercom to the pastor on the platform, and he would get up and say, well, we've counted the first offering, and it's not enough, so we're taking another one up. They said there were times that there were 3 and 4 offerings in a service. And this is what touched me. Not that. We have multiple offerings and services, so I can take or leave that. This is what they said. They said, Pastor, we saved one night a week as a date night for us. And it was Sunday night after church. And we would all week long save enough money to stop at McDonald's on the way home and get a hamburger or a cheeseburger, and some French fries, and a strawberry shake. And I'm going to tell you what they told me. They told me many Sunday nights, we left guilty if we did not take our McDonald's date money and put it in the offering. Never forget that conversation, Pastor Leon. It guided me for all these years since. Don't have anybody feel under constraint or distress or a necessity Because of you got your date night money. Unless the Lord has very clearly told you to put that in the offering, don't. Go have your date. Back then, you could go to McDonald's and have a meal for $5 to $7. Now it takes $15 for two people. I get that. I will never forget that night, Donna, as long as I live. In fact, I'm thankful that the Lord brought that across the path of my life. We go on with verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Able, capable, powerful, and strong, abound, to excess, to be in, to superabound in quantity and quality. Now, how do we get to verse 8? That God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, having all that you need. The only way you get to verse 8 is fulfilling 6 and 7. Remember this. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And if you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. So you should decide what you're going to give in your heart. Don't do it reluctantly. Don't do it under compulsion. Just be willing and prompt to do what God tells you to do. And when you do that, He will be able to make all grace abound so that in all things at all times, you will have all that you need. Amen. Whenever we get involved in a giving opportunity, it's not unusual to experience fears of insufficiency. Am I going to have enough if I give in this offering till next payday? The majority of people in this room live from paycheck to paycheck. I get that. My car is making a funny sound. I better get to Higher Standard Automotive right away. And what about that doctor's appointment I got on Tuesday? What's going to come out of that? And with everything that's happening in Dow Corning and Dow Chemical, am I going to have my job 2 months from now? You see, whenever these thoughts come, and believe me, they will, the first thing to remember, my friends, is this. Money is not our sufficiency. Remember, when we begin to put our trust in anything other than God, it is what? Idolatry. And God is able to make grace abound so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you're going to be able to abound in every good work. In all things, at all times, having all that you... What's the next word? Oh, you got to be with me. I'll say it again. In all things, at all times, having all that you... What's the next word? Please don't misquote that verse. It doesn't say all that you want. There's a big difference, my friends, between needs and wants. God never, any place in the Bible, promises to satisfy your every whim and your every passing fancy. Now, beyond the level of sufficiency, there is another level, and it's called abundance. And I believe that God often tests us at the level of abundance. You see, it's one thing to have just enough to make all your needs. The real test comes when we get a little extra. And let me be candid with you. This is the point at which many people fail the test. See, here's what happens. When abundance comes our way, something quite evil rises to the surface. Do you know what it is? Greed. Greed. All of a sudden, I got a little bit more than I was planning on. Greed. Let me tell you what the word of the Lord says about this subject matter. A greedy man brings trouble to his family. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So what are we supposed to do? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Well, what belongs to our earthly nature? Sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, evil desires, and greed. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit says about greed. Greed is idolatry. Because it's putting something else in front of God. And you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things. I'm going to be transparent enough this morning to share with you how Miss Donna and I have handled abundance. That is, unexpected income. It's not like we get a lot of opportunities as a pastor of unexpected income, but once in a while we do. I did a destination wedding in Florida in January of this year. It was connected with the Israel trip that I did last August. And this was a high-end wedding, let me tell you. Palm Beach, Florida, at the Flagler Museum. Whoo, the air was expensive. And we're down there, and we're just kind of like, whoa! And they're taking us on a carriage ride to and from the wedding place and all this jazz. And I mean, I have no idea what that wedding cost. A couple months later, I got a check from the father of the bride for $2,000. Oh, Don, I love you. You're good. It's totally unexpected. It was totally unexpected. They paid all my expenses, you understand. Comes to weddings and funerals and things like that, we don't charge. I never charge for my services. I've heard pastors that do. I'm like, yuck, make me sick. I'll just minister to your family, and if you want to give me something to show your appreciation, fine. If not, that's fine too. I don't know. Tom, can I share with them the gift that you gave to me for our 30th anniversary? Is that okay? Okay. Well, that was unexpected to us. So we had our 30th anniversary here 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, and Tom gave us a check just to say thank you for 30 years of ministry. Is this okay? It's okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to do it whether you said it's okay or not. It's too late now. It's too late now, Tom. He says, I'll talk to him after service about it. No. We didn't expect anything. We didn't even expect the day. And you showed your appreciation through the board, showed our appreciation by giving us a check for $4,000.
Hallelujah!
I thought that was going to come. I thought that was about to come, yeah. Okay. Whenever abundance comes our way, Donna and I have always followed the same pattern. Number one, right away, we tithe on it. We tithe on it. Unexpected blessing that comes our way, and we want the Lord to know that we're so thankful that He saw to it that we got that. And so we pay our tithe. Then secondly, we'll bring current any areas of shortfall that we might be experiencing right then. If we're behind in this and that, or, you know, we just whatever, and we need to put several hundred dollars here to take care of this or that, we do it. And then There have been an occasional time, not too many, where we have paid ahead commitments that we knew we were going to have. I remember one year, we took a bonus at the end of the year, and I just calculated our housing payment for the next 12 months, and I just set it all aside, and we were able to live a whole year without a house payment. Okay? Just set it aside. I didn't give it to the bank, because they'd still keep thinking it's coming every month, you understand? I just set it aside, and every month I went into this little pocket, and we lived a whole year without a house payment. Or we'll put it into savings. We never take abundance and blow it on one thing. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, your life is dull. My response? My life is fiscally responsible. And I owe no man anything. Well, I take that back. I have a mortgage payment. Will you rejoice with me? Will you rejoice with me? You see, sometimes people are afraid to share things because people are going, Rejoice with Donna and I, because in December, we're paying our house off. No more mortgage. No more mortgage. My wife wants to say something. It better add, dear, okay?
No, do you not trust me, dear?
I trust you, dear.
Do you love me?
I do.
Do you love me?
A whole bunch.
Okay.
Oh, three times do I love you. Yes, I do.
Yeah, Peter said that, too.
See, she's scriptural about everything she does.
But I'm here to tell you that when he, you know, it's a good thing he does the money in our house because I'm not good at it. So I just want to say to you, whoever has got the strength to do the money in your home is the one who should do it. Because when he comes to me with the bonus and says, we're going to pay up our house payments for the next year, I'm going, boring. Just flat out boring. But see, it's his strength. And so I submit to it. And because it's his strength and I submit to it, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. For me, it would have been gone. Would have been gone onto other things and stuff. So I am so thankful that it's his strength and I can submit to it and I can trust it. And my socks have been totally blessed off.
Dear, wherever you want to go for lunch today after church, we're going, okay? And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, you can say that because you're wealthy. I am not wealthy. By my own choosing, I haven't had a salary raise in 17 years. No. The reason we can do this is because I've chosen to stay away from a thing called greed, which always tries to raise its ugly head when abundance comes our direction. There's yet one more level of living for us to consider. So far, we've talked about need, we've talked about greed. Now I want to talk about seed. Seed. The language of 9:6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. The question is, how do you view the money that God has put into your hands? Is it money to meet your needs? Is it money to satisfy your greed? Or do you see it as seed? I found this powerful verse. This verse is crazy good for young couples in this day and age, but for all of us. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of the Lord. I think the writer of this proverb is saying, I want to be in the sweet spot of your provision for my life. One truth in today's message: God is committed to meeting our needs. Would you say that with me? God is committed to meeting our needs. I want you to turn to the person on your right and your left, look them right in the eye and say, God is committed to meeting your needs. Go ahead, do it. That's right. Hallelujah. That's the truth. So, look closely at the next verse. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The first thing I want you to notice with me is that it doesn't say God supplies the seed to the keeper. Now he who supplies seed to the one who's going to keep it all. He who supplies seed to the one who is going to sow. He supplies seed to sowers, those who will scatter. And he does more than just supply seed to the sower. Look at it again. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. God is always mindful, my friends, of your material needs. He wants us to take some of the seed he's given us and eat it, and the rest he wants us to sow. And when we do that, he will furnish. The Greek word, we get our word from that, choreography. A choreographer has a program on a stage. And they're saying, you go here, you go there. At this moment, you jump up here. Over here, you twirl around. They choreograph it. God wants to choreograph your life. If you do this thing his way, he'll make it all work. And he will increase, he will multiply your store of seed, and he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. I want to wrap things up today by giving you three potential principles of giving, the three fundamental principles of giving. When I give these to you, you're just going to say, well, duh, Pastor. Well, sometimes we skip over the duh, Pastor, and we don't get it. Three foundational principles to giving. Number one, we reap what we sow. Say it with me. We reap what we sow. We live in an agricultural area, beautiful farms east and north, and go over to the thumb, huge farms. If a farmer says, I want corn this year, he doesn't go out into that field and plants beets. He plants corn. He's not going to get corn from seeding beets, or vice versa. Let me parenthetically say, so that no one misunderstands Pastor this morning, I am not, I want that in capital letters and I want that underlined, I am not teaching a holy get-rich-quick scheme this morning. I have never preached that from this pulpit. I never will, because I don't see that in the Bible. We don't sow for the purpose of getting more. However, when we sow, we will be given an increase. It's biblical. Second principle, we reap after we sow. Would you say that with me? We reap after we sow. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. Well, someday, when I have more money, I'm going to really be a good giver. Pipe dream. It'll never happen in your life. You're saying, if God gives me, then I'll be a sower. And until he gives me, I won't. You will never get. Because we reap after we sow. Not before. It'll never work that way. God takes us where we are at. You got to start where you're at. And number three, we reap more than we sow. Would you say that, please? We reap more than we sow. The principle of harvest increase is very powerful. And those who are, how many of you are gardeners? You have a garden? Let me see your hands. Oh, about 12 of you. I see. Okay. When we retire, I think I'm going to try my hand at gardening. Well, Donna says it belongs to the deer and they'll eat it all. Well, I will contact Donald Trump and I'll build a wall around my garden. I'll build a wall. And I'm going to make the deer pay for it. That's really good. Yes! Oh, was that good? I want you to become a sermon writer for me, let me tell you. And I will follow the teleprompter, let me tell you. Oh, that was really good. That was really good. No, but I just understand that, you know, you just plant a little and you know, if you kind of take care of it, the garden just goes crazy. Mark, you told me that. Yeah. You know, some of you have your gardens, all 12 of you. You can tithe from your garden to the pastor, okay? Tomatoes or what have you. Friends, we reap more than we sow. You always get more when you sow God's way. I believe God is looking for people he can trust with wealth. And how he finds such people is taking them through three tests. First of all, the test of need. When you are in a time of need, do you trust God to take care of you? Do you trust God to get you through that time? Then there's the test of greed. If you meet the first one, God will give you some abundance, and he will watch how you handle that abundance. I'm going to tell you right now, if you take the abundance, all the abundance that God gives you, and you consume it upon your selfish person in greed, he will shut that down very quickly. And if you pass the test of need and the test of greed, you'll then get the test of seed to see if you will sow bountifully. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. When you pass these tests, God says, I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. I didn't preach a message this morning that said God's going to make you rich, although the Bible says that. But you see, we have a real hard problem with that word, because we want to have a full-blown house on Higgins Lake, and then we're rich. Otherwise, we're not. The mindset of the average American is so messed up concerning this. Because I'm just going to look at all of you today and say, according to the world, you are all filthy rich. And you ought to know that, because that's true. That's true. So rather than rich, but that's what the Bible says, I'm just saying God is going to bless every person beyond their wildest imaginations if they pass the test of need and they pass the test of greed and they pass the test of seed. And that's today's text. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. New Living Translation probably says it the best. Yes, you will be enriched in every way. See, it doesn't say you'll be rich. It says you'll be enriched in every way. So that you can always be generous. And I stand before hundreds and hundreds of people to say thank you for living, to give. And Father God, I pray that you would take this word and bring much fruit from it in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you get something from the word this morning? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, let's worship the Lord with our giving today. Hallelujah. We receive one offering today. First of all, the Lord's tithe. In addition to that, our faith promises to missions and any other pledges that you might have made. You who raised your hand for Camp Scholarship, if you want to give that today, you mark it on the right side of the offering envelope, especially for Camp Scholarship. We'll make sure it goes there. Wherever you put it on the right side of the envelope, we'll make sure it goes there. The tithe goes to the church and the running of the church, the depository, the treasury. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. And I thank you that we have learned much today about why and how you bless us. Thank you, God. Bless gift and bless giver. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give. Ushers, thank you for serving us. We are coming to the close of the summer. I will have one message left in this series next Sunday: extravagant giving. It's not just live to give, it's extravagant giving. You're going to be really blessed with the final message in this series. Then we have Labor Day weekend. And then we go back to our regular schedule. You know, I'm so thankful that this congregation is very flexible. We just move service times all over the place. I realize that. And it's just best you go online Saturday night and see what time the family's getting together tomorrow. But I thank you for that. In the summertime, we go to a single service at 10 a.m. Now, just look at the crowd this morning. We're a little light over here. We're real light over there. But other than that, row here and there, we're pretty well full. There are 145 not here this morning. We can do this summer thing, 10 o'clock, because of things like that. Camps, missions trips, the like. If we tried to do that the first Sunday after Labor Day, oh boy, it would be very, very interesting. We've talked about kind of toying with it, but we're not toying with it. So that just means the Sunday after Labor Day, which would be the 11th, we go back to 9 and 11. 9 and 11. Take your pick. Just ask you to be on time for church. Don't, because we know the auditorium's not full. It's really good to be early for church, greeting one another, loving one another, and then getting ready to enter into worship. And we already had the promotion earlier, but let me back up and say the Wednesday before that. See, Labor Day is really late this year, September 5, maybe, something like that. 6-7, two days later, we have Wednesday night, the life lessons. Oh, Pat has so many good classes lined up for us. Christian Ed for your children, Thrive Youth, choir. It's just great. We will have, goodness, we'll have half or more of the Sunday morning attendance in church on Wednesday night. And it's just great. So that's the 7th at 6:30. The Wednesday night is designed to go from 6:30 to about 8 o'clock. 7:45 to 8 o'clock, but 8 o'clock get you out so you can get home with the kids and be ready for school. And then the next Sunday will be in two services, 9 and 11. We got 2 weeks left, and the leaves will start falling, let me tell you. Oh, pardon me. Oh, Leon said, I'm off the teleprompter. Get back on the teleprompter. Okay, on the 11th, of September, I'm going to bring a very, very special message titled Seasons. And I'm going to talk about seasons. This whole idea of fall, winter, spring, summer. And I know that message will be a blessing and that will be an encouragement to all of you. Second Sunday in September. Stand, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have a good day.